Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live to right here. It is game time decisions. Another Monday night to make it happen on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh with you. We have a big Monday nighter in the AFC, and I do not say that facetiously, as we have the Denver Broncos, who are now shaping up to be the final wild card team in this conference. Incredibly, despite the preseason odds, certainly. The Broncos control their own destiny. When you look at the AFC standings, this team is in a prime position. The Browns look to play spoilers, something they did just last week when they upset the Pittsburgh Steelers with their gunslinging quarterback in Jameis Winston. We will get into this game. We will hit on the NBA a little bit. We'll zoom out to the college football world as well. Tomorrow, we will be getting the second most important rankings of the college football season, but a very important rankings before conference championship weekend takes place. And we will have a full breakdown of all of that on tomorrow's show that you will not want to miss. But let's get right into it here. Denver and Cleveland in a big-time, prime-time spot where a number of odds could be shifting. Now, the spread is continuing to move in Denver's favor. We are up to 6.5. Some of those 6.5s have come on back to a flat 6. This side, tricky. I would look Cleveland if you were able to get to a flat 7 in this game, with the touchdown still, of course, being key. But I likely back off from that direction. I do think the Browns, just the ability of Jameis really can keep them within range against mostly any opponent now. If you look, they have with Jameis, they've won 2, they've lost 2. The 2 losses were by 17 and 21. So maybe it's either, you know, it's a do or die type of thing with Jameis Winston. The Broncos, though, a different caliber of team who I guess I feel I'm still trying to fully figure out. I'm a little surprised that they sit here at 7-5, and not just based on preseason expectations. I'm talking about in-season expectations. You know, this is a team who's 2-2 run against New Orleans with Rattler and Carolina at home was not surprising. Their 0-2 run against Baltimore and Kansas City on the road, absolutely expected. Even the fact that they should have beat the Chiefs didn't overly impress me, because everyone should have beat the Chiefs, it feels like, this season. But it's the 2-0 window that they are on right now where it feels like things change. Even more impressive than when this team won at Tampa and at the Jets early season. The Bucs game was a good spot. The Jets are atrocious, and we now see that for what it truly is. They dominated the Atlanta Falcons. They beat that team by 32 points. Who entered as slight favorites, slight dogs. The game was a round pick. They followed it up by going on the road in division. Never easy to do. We know that. We've seen that throughout NFL history. We know that is the case. They get down early in this football game as well. They trailed at halftime. They won by double digits when it was all said and done. And now you kind of take the Broncos schedule and see where it looks. Home against Cleveland, a bye week, home against Indianapolis. They'll be priced as favorites in both. And if they're able to secure those wins, 9-5, there's probably no looking back. The final three games are difficult, going to L.A. We'll get to Cincinnati later on our show, but that's not going to be easy, even if the Bengals are allergic to winning. And then they'll close it against the Chiefs. We'll see if it matters to Kansas City. Perhaps their seeding will be locked up prior to Week 18, which could be a big benefit to Denver. They're sneaky as a world, I feel, where Denver's seeding is locked up prior to Week 18, and they're just locked into that seventh slot. But yet, here we are. And one of the big picture kind of changing landscapes with the Broncos now projected to make the postseason is Bo Nix fully entering the Offensive Rookie of the Year race. Now, Nix's number dropped due to a Sunday performance from Jaden Daniels, where they hung 21 early on Tennessee. Daniels threw three touchdowns, rushed in another against that Titans defense. But the Commanders to 8-5. They, similar to Denver, feel like a team that is going to go to the playoffs. That being true for both, one, very surprising, but also would then kind of bring it most likely to a straight statistics battle, I imagine. The thing is, Bo Nix is not all that far behind. Nix has done a nice job finding the end zone. I know some think he could do it tonight. He's at 4 already on the year. 16 touchdowns to no interceptions. 8 touchdowns, no picks in his last 3. In his last 6 games, he has thrown just 1 interception. He has an 11-1 touchdown to interception ratio within the last 5 weeks of football. So Bo Nix is playing well. He 100% is. And I expect it to continue tonight. Bo Nix's passing prop out there in the market, 220.5. That number looks light to me when we look at not just Bo Nix's production, and that number's climbed up for Nix in some spots as high as 227.5, looks like 223.5 now, becoming one of the new numbers out there. But it's what we've seen allowed this year from the Cleveland secondary. The Browns on a yards per game basis are not that close to the bottom, but yards per pass attempt, second worst in football. So it becomes about volume, and Bo Nix has thrown the ball at least 30 times in now 5 straight games, 33 or more times in 5 out of the 6. So if you know you're going to get volume out of Bo Nix, we are now watching Bo Nix play really well, and you're against this Browns secondary, which has been giving up a ton of deep passes. A ton. The longest completion prop for Bo Nix is certainly tempting. It's a way that you can look. When we get to the running backs room, I think both teams are complicated, though I think Denver would take the case if you want to make the battle. Javonte Williams last week became the 3rd player in the last decade to have at least 8 carries and finish with negative rushing yards. He's the 1st player to do it in a win, which is insane. How does your starting running back in a victory finish with negative 2 yards? Jaleel McLaughlin, though, ended up getting, as many carries. I cannot make heads or tails of the Denver backfield. The Cleveland backfield's pretty easy. It's Chubbs. It is. The issue, though, in this specific matchup is I see a lot of vulnerability for the Broncos against pass-catching backs. That description still fits Jerome Ford. My worry getting to the window is that was true last week when the Browns played Pittsburgh. The 1st pass of the game went to Jerome Ford, and I don't think he saw another one the rest of the way. So is there still enough Jerome Ford workload out there and available to make plays? Don't forget tonight you also have your Jerry Jeudy revenge game against the Broncos, and no Cedric Tillman going for the Cleveland Browns. It could be a big game in prime time for the former Bronco. and Jerry Jeudy. All stuff we'll break down with you. It is Game Time Decisions. We're live.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
On Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No more. I mean, there can't be. Look at that. They put it up. They didn't even. I didn't even tell them that that's what I was going to talk. No. Put it up. No. I love that. Because they know back there. They know. That it is the Philadelphia Eagles with a victory last night. First of all, what does this do? It shows that I'm the most unbiased man in the history of sports media. I didn't pick this team to win the Super Bowl because I'm a Birds fan. Go Birds. No, it's because this team is as good as any in this sport. And you saw it once again on display against the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens went out there last night and they thought it was going to be sweet. They were up 9-0. And then they picked their heads up, and it was 24-12. A 24-3 run in Baltimore's building. And oh, by the way, touchdown that I will never speak ill of because it allowed me to sneak out arguably an undeserving win on Jalen Hurts over 8.5 rush attempts. Call it one for the good guys. The books now, as many of you have responded. Because now, when you look in the NFC market, there is a clear top tier, and Philly's a part of it. Detroit's still the favorites, that's fine, plus 150, but the Eagles at plus 250 have created a massive gap to the third team, the Green Bay Packers, who all of a sudden now everybody remembers the Eagles beat in week 1. And it doesn't just stop there. In fact, the Eagles have now moved so much, I'm starting to go, whoa, take it easy. Tied for the second best odds to win the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles, alongside the Buffalo Bills, who we'll get to in just a second. For Philly, this win proved without a shadow of a doubt that this defense is for real. It was their downfall last year. It will not be their downfall this year. The Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell picks were arguably two of the best draft choices any team made this past April, and the Eagles made both of those decisions. Jalen Carter is defensive player of the year good, and all of a sudden, Zach Bond has helped the Eagles actually have a linebacker, which is nice to see, because I haven't seen a lot of that in my life. The Eagles have answered all of the questions. Now the questions change. It's will they win the Super Bowl? And before we get there, can they steal the one seed off the Detroit Lions? Well, they'll need some help. The Detroit Lions still have to play a few games against the NFC North. A trip to Green Bay next week. They'll close it in Minnesota. During this run, they also go to the Windy City and see Chicago. Perhaps the likeliest spot, though, for a Detroit loss would be a Buffalo win. Yes, the Lions are at home, but the Buffalo Bills put another result on the board on Sunday night. Buffalo, like Philly, just keep winning. A two-game losing streak that you can excuse. It was a tough run of going to Baltimore and then Houston, and at the time, finishing out in New York against the Jets. This team has not put really a foot wrong since, though. They have still scored 30-plus in every single home game. And that is the reality now if you are the Buffalo Bills. It is why that there was some trepidation for Bills backers going into the game against Kansas City. Ugh, do we even want to win? It's the same old formula. We win in the regular season, we lose in the postseason. You needed to win that game because it kept your hopes for the one seed alive. It won't be easy to secure because the trips to LA and Detroit are tough. They are. They just are. The Rams are scrappy. I mean, yeah, the Eagles dumped them on their heads, but that's the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Lions will be booked as favorites in that game against Buffalo. If the Bills get through that, what remains? New England, New York, New England. It's a lot to ask a team to win 10, 12, 13 games in a row. It is. That's probably what Buffalo will need to do, though, to grab the one seed. Because the dark magic in Kansas City, I don't know if it's stopping anytime soon. Plus, the schedule is still workable, and they have the game in hand. If the Chiefs lose one more time, yes, Buffalo goes to the one seed. If they win out, the Bills, if they lose one more, will need multiple KC losses. So it's still going to make the difference. Kansas City having the upper hand, though, is not stopping the books from making a change for the first time this year. That's putting the Bills as AFC favorites. I thought to myself today, I might place a wager this week in the AFC outright market. I thought I might place that wager on the Baltimore Ravens. It's silly. I shouldn't. It's asking for predictable pain. The books, though, seemingly want to save me. How in God's name are the five-loss Ravens plus 450 to win the AFC? I mean, can anyone make sense of that? They are now favored to be a wild card team. With the Pittsburgh Steelers upset over the Cincinnati Bengals. Then again, I was thinking about betting Cincinnati, so perhaps I'm going to guarantee just make a useless, wasteful bet within the AFC race. I mean, I already did preseason, likely on Miami. I thought we would see the Ravens shift back to at least 5-1, plus 700. I don't know. I convinced myself there's a world they'd be 10-1. They're not. They're plus 450. I don't know if that's the Ravens getting respect or the Chiefs and the Bills getting disrespect. But it's madness to see Baltimore after their fifth loss. Fifth. And now go as dogs in the North. Still sit there at that number. A lot of Philly and Buffalo talk here. Baltimore as well. Those teams currently homes to the top three choices within the MVP market. Josh Allen, the biggest favorite number of the season, though, at minus 280. Game time decisions continues after this quick.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on Game Time Decisions this Monday night. We'll look to make some certainly on the basketball board, though no ranked action tonight for the college game. As Tuesday, things will pick back up with the SEC-ACC Challenge. You've got Kentucky going to Clemson, Tennessee, who I believe in the first unveiling of the net rankings actually came in as the top-slotted team. They're third right now in the AP poll. You're going to have Louisville and Ole Miss, which is going to be a big one as well. Your Wednesday college basketball slate is, oh my goodness, levels of excellent. Baylor, UConn, UNC, Bama, Marquette, Iowa State, Kansas, Creighton, and the big one, in my opinion, Duke, Auburn. My preseason pick to win the national champion, who is now the second choice, jumped by the Auburn Tigers. Auburn has earned it. What they did in Maui was great. On the ropes against Iowa State, they found a way. Jahni Broome is on the trajectory to win the Wooden Award. He became the new favorite, jumping Cooper Flagg. For the Blue Devils, though, I look at their two losses, and I don't think they should hang their head in either. By 3 to Kansas, by 5 to Kentucky. You'd love to have them. You'd love to be 7-0 like Auburn is. But for the Blue Devils, you can look at those losses and go, okay, hey, listen, it happens, right? We're going up against veteran-led teams in Kansas and Kentucky. Yes, the Wildcats with a new roster. We didn't have our best play their best. Con Knipple can't hit a shot against either of those Blue Bloods. But Duke is going to be at home for that game against Auburn. At home. This is a level check. We'll see. That number's going to be real short. Real short. I think Auburn may be the popular side, quite frankly, when those teams do meet. Because people will say, oh, come on, Duke's not that good. They lost to Kentucky. They lost to Kansas. Auburn. And I'll understand that. This is the Blue Devils' spot to prove that they are of the level. If they do lose this game, yes, how it plays out will matter. But I will now feel I didn't make a great bet. Doesn't mean I couldn't potentially win my bet. I think as the season gets on, I'll like my Duke action more. But if they beat Auburn, I'll feel really good about it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're much better than Auburn or anything of the nature. It means they're of the level. And if you bet the favorite, which is what I did, you better be of the level. We'll find out on Wednesday as that college basketball board is just absolutely fantastic this week. On the NBA side of things, a lot of big numbers are out there tonight. You have some back-to-backs, and that's certainly impacting things there. For a lot of the spots. The Nets are catching a big number from the Chicago Bulls on the road. Brooklyn, for those that don't know, lost Cam Thomas to a hamstring injury. That shaping your number. New Orleans on the second leg of a back-to-back against Atlanta. The New Orleans injury report is consistently robust. A 4-17 basketball team. Just incredible to see. Does DeJounte Murray go out there and potentially give you the narrative performance on the second leg of a back-to-back? We'll see. Maybe you get a Dyson Daniels, you shouldn't have given up on me narrative performance, if you'd like as well. Miami and Boston with this Heat team that is going to drive me to insanity on a back-to-back. That because I placed a Miami Heat win total over. Just look at their last two losses. By 3 to Milwaukee at home with Giannis missing the game. By 3 on the road to the Raptors. Booked his favorites, of course. Not that all of their losses they were favored in, but a few. It's just been Miami's been a frustrating watch. They now go to Boston, who is somewhat laying out for this game. The Celtics off of a bit of a tough loss yesterday where they blew it big in the fourth quarter to the Cleveland Cavaliers. At one point trailed by as many as 14. They allowed 43 fourth quarter points to the Cavs. And all of those head-to-heads are going to matter for the top spot in the Eastern Conference seating-wise. And the early returns, now it's early, is like Boston-Cleveland Eastern Conference championship game. If you're Cleveland, you'd rather have more games at home than in Boston and vice versa. So those head-to-heads are going to certainly make the difference. Minnesota and L.A., the Lakers are catching big points. No Austin Reeves as they're on the second leg of a back-to-back. We've got Joe Lisi joining us next on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live with you right here on Sports Grid, a Monday night. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Joe Lisi. Lisi, how are we feeling?
Feeling good. Yeah. Feeling good, yeah. College football rankings coming out soon, right? Can't wait. Can't wait for that. Got a big game on Monday night, Denver and Cleveland. Big ball game.
We will get into the Monday nighter in a moment, but I want to talk to you about some college football tomorrow. The plan right now, we're going to get our guy BSS in the mix here on Game Time.
Oh, wow.
Go live at 7. We'll be live for the hour before, but we're going to cover it as it happens because, Joe, this is a unique first time where the rankings before conference championship weekend matter and lock a lot of teams in. If we were under the old format, this would be really simple. If Oregon beats Penn State, Penn State's out. If Penn State beat Oregon, then they're both in. The winner of the SEC title game, probably Notre Dame. The ACC would beg, knock on the door, maybe, what about us, what about us? And we'd figure out, does Ohio State get in even though they dropped the game to Michigan? We have a completely different format.
Yes.
And on Tuesday, we're going to get an idea of some of the seeding, but we're going to get an idea of who has life. And one of the big debate points, Lisi, is Miami against Alabama with South Carolina going, oh, how are we not a part of that conversation? Yeah. What do you make of those trio of teams right now who are hoping the committee looks favorably on them?
Well, I think when you look at Miami, the problem is how they played down to the level of competition over the past, you know, regular season. I mean, played down and didn't cover against Virginia Tech, Hail Mary, 50-50 ball. Some say he caught it, some say he didn't. Cal, that performance where they trailed in that matchup by basically 25 points, the near misses. They played toe-to-toe for three quarters with Duke. So Georgia Tech, Syracuse at the end of the regular season. If you're asking me, out of all three of those teams, if I was on the committee, who would I pick? I would pick South Carolina, even though they lost a head-to-head for Alabama. And the reason why I say that is they are playing the most consistent down the stretch from the start of the year till now. And that's the argument that we heard last year when Georgia got knocked out and they lost an SEC championship game and they had only lost two times over the past 31 meetings.
Yeah.
They kept them out of the matchup. And then Texas jumped other teams that Florida State that was undefeated because they were playing more consistent.
Yep.
What's the argument this year?
Yeah, I think for me, so here's what I will say. I think South Carolina is absolutely dead. The committee has shown us how much they care about head-to-heads. They lost to Bama. I will be beyond stunned if we sit here tomorrow and they put them above them. I went through it in my own mind. I told you this. I think my weakness as a ranker is that maybe I don't judge when things happened strongly enough. I wouldn't put South Carolina in front of Ole Miss. Ole Miss went into their building, beat them by 24.
That was before they went on a heater, though.
Like I said,
yeah, I know.
I know where my faults would be as a ranker, but...
But that's what makes it unique.
That would happen.
We would be in the room probably until 4 o'clock.
Yeah, we would.
Battles coming on.
We absolutely would. So, to me, I don't see it fully with South Carolina. My thing with Miami, and I don't know if – let me ask you like this, Joe.
Go ahead.
Worst loss, by 4 points at Syracuse or by 21 at Oklahoma?
Totally agree.
OU is definitely better than Syracuse. Miami's lost by 4 and by 5. But that offense is so good.
Right.
You cannot run away from them at all.
No, and I'm in agreement with you. We both picked Oklahoma to keep that game close. The fact that they dominated by three touchdowns, won it, and just shocked Jalen Milroe in terms of that performance and held Alabama to 3 points. I mean, everybody was shocked from that. But we'll go back to this perception issue. Which is a more dominant team, Oklahoma, Georgia Tech, or Sarah? And again... Yeah. I understand Syracuse, 9 wins with Fran Brown.
Yeah.
I understand Brent Key and Georgia Tech, fantastic year with Haynes King. And the games that they lost was without Haynes King at the helm for the most part. But the perception is, if we're talking about those two teams, Oklahoma's just this blue blood program, and Syracuse and Georgia Tech are not.
Right.
So that's why we give you a reason then to keep out Miami from the playoff.
And again, OU is... Despite having less victories, I think definitely better than Syracuse and I think highly of Georgia Tech personally, but they scored 3 points.
Right.
Like, and I think we talk about perception. Now, I will admit, I don't know ratings-wise what Bama versus Miami would do, but take it from the number one Jalen Milroe guy, I think I'd rather watch a Miami Hurricanes football game. They score 30 every game.
I know, every game.
I mean, it is... The offense is so good, man. It really is.
And it's consistent, too. They haven't had ups and downs. Jalen Milroe, 3 points, right? Every week they're scoring 30.
It was...
Except against Georgia Tech,
it was 23. It was famous last words, but I turned to you one week, and I was like, the kids never lost an SEC game, and I think that was when they then lost to Vanderbilt, and since then there's been a few losses. And the one, I mean, That's the thing. Again, like I know this will be weird to people. He's one of my favorite college players of all time.
But that's great, though.
But yeah, but like the game against Oklahoma is inexcusable. Like, OU's defense is great. That doesn't matter. You cannot do that. You cannot score 3 points. You cannot throw for under 100 yards. You cannot not move the football. And they didn't move the football in that game. I don't have a great read on what the committee is going to do with that spot. Let me ask you this, because this is, I think, the most important of the conference championship games. It's the ACC conference championship. And I'll start with the most important starting point. Do you have a feel right now for where your action will land on the side of that game?
I'm starting to lean to SMU.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that
number
is...
Number flipped, by the way. You saw it opened Clemson, it's flipped to the Stangs.
Yeah, and the reason why is they've been a dominant defense. I mean, you talk about rock solid and run support.
Yeah.
You know, entering that game against Cal, 2.7 yards per rush. I like Kevin Jennings at the quarterback position. Hasn't really had terrible performances. Their defensive front seven gets after it. They're athletic. Yep. And I understand just the body of work.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen them really rocked, right? You know, throughout the regular season. So for me, you're going to buy into Cade Klubnik? Cade Klubnik struggled against Pittsburgh, struggled against South Carolina. I mean, you want to struggled against Louisville coming out of a bye week. I mean, where is the body of work for Clemson? We talk about it. Up until that point that they lost to Louisville, they were one of the hottest teams in the country because of the opponents that they played. I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. Can't do it anymore, Kev.
I will tell you this when it comes to Clemson. You want to tell me, hey, a Big 12 team deserves a shot? I think that's fine. I really do. Arizona State or Iowa State now are, I think, only have two losses. You tell me, hey, man, we want a team like Boise or UNLV to have a chance. Okay. Clemson does not deserve this chance. They have had, Joe, they have lost every single one of their step-up games.
Right.
And mostly in bad fashion. Georgia embarrassed them. Louisville and South Carolina. Again, I learned this from you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go and win at Clemson.
Right.
They've lost both of those games at Clemson.
Right.
Like, they do not... I know Clemson... This is probably somehow get clipped and go... I don't care. Clemson does not deserve this opportunity to appear in a college football playoff.
Right. Now I'm going to turn it back onto you.
Okay.
Right? College basketball-wise, right?
Yeah.
A few years ago, maybe when Edwards was at Georgia, didn't they make a run in the SEC championship and actually won it? They were under 500. In college basketball, we've seen that before.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was technically Georgia, but we've seen it.
NC State did it last year.
NC State, right. So we know the perception, but you love it on the college basketball side. College football, it's taking you.
I think it's because college hoops way bigger field.
Right.
Right? And when there's bid stealers, right, it either happens at a low level.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers. And Rakuten shares the commission with its members. And that could be you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account. Or, if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cashback on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free, and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. June is Men's Mental Health Month, and every year, 6 million men suffer from depression. If you're feeling overwhelmed, the strongest thing you can do is ask for help. And BetterHelp makes it easy. Take a short online quiz and connect from home with a qualified therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
mid-major team, what were they going to do?
Right.
Right? Or, oh, NC State won the ACC. Yeah, well, Duke's in, Carolina's in, Virginia. Don't worry about it. Clemson gets in, and it's right. Like, yeah, we just lost Miami or Bama. So, because, and I don't know, is SMU safe in a loss?
No.
I agree. I'm not sure they're safe.
No.
At all. Indiana is, because they beat Purdue by 60. We'll talk Monday night with Lisi next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live with you right here, and it is game time decisions on a Monday. Let's make some here. Joe Lisi, Browns, Broncos, Denver, hot, ready to make a run in the AFC postseason picture. Can't trip up here.
No.
Things get real dicey if they do. Do you have a lean on the side or total tonight?
I do. I like Cleveland, believe it or not. I think Cleveland's going to give them a game.
1-7.
Nah, I'm okay with the 6.5. I just think that Jameis, that offense, they're playing with house money. They went toe-to-toe with Pittsburgh. They get that game at home. I understand it was in the snow, a little adverse conditions. But you're still going up against a rookie quarterback. And again, you know, for 1.5, Las Vegas played with Denver. Denver typically has a better defense and more consistent. But I'll still think that Cleveland can move the football on them. I think Jameis could put up potentially 250. 275 on that secondary. And I understand they beat Kirk Cousins and Atlanta. That's a gutless football team. Cleveland's at least playing with some heart. Jerry Jeudy going up against his former team plus 230 on the money line. Anytime touchdown value. I think that has life. I altered Jeudy up to 70 plus, even though Surtain is on him. And how about Lil Jordan Humphrey out of the abyss, 40 plus receiving for Denver.
Yeah, little Jordan Humphrey,
little
huh?
Little Jordan. Big bodied.
Big body.
Big
receiver.
Bodied. All right. 16.5 is his number tonight.
Okay.
So,
Bo Nix in the passing game is where I want to look.
Okay.
The thing is, Jameis is on the other side. 500, 600, 700.
I knew you were thinking that.
Like, come on, is it not? I don't know. Is that wrong?
It's not wrong. You think Jameis is licking his chops watching Burrow and Russ throw for 700 yards yesterday?
Probably.
721, and he's like, I could do that? Come on, Bo.
The issue is,
you're going to get me in on this bet. I know you are.
Well, so to get to 500, it's plus 195. Not a lot.
Nah.
To get to 550, it's plus 470. 600 plus 950. They don't even have the 700.
I will say, like, when he threw for 307, because I was on the over in that game against Atlanta, a lot of bubble screens to Marvin Mims.
He's not
a lot of bubbles,
the world.
Right. So, I mean, Cleveland's defense is a little bit better than Atlanta's in that regard.
Well,
a little.
Okay, yes, better than
they
Atlanta's.
Tackle.
The Browns' defense not very good this year.
No.
Give up a lot of explosive plays.
Should we be looking tight end? Should we be looking running backs coming out of the backfield? Javonte Williams? Yeah, and
I felt for Cortland Sutton just kind of makes. He works. There's been some number one wide receiver success against this football team. Not loads, but enough where you could make a play on it. It's not my favorite thing I've ever seen, but again, it's out there and available. In kind of some of those taken down parlays we talk about, you know, Sutton, Jeudy kind of 1-2 step, right? I think you kind of talked me into that when it comes to this game here. The total's ticking down. I don't know. Maybe this thing's a rocket ship. 41.5 is very low. No?
Yeah, it's low, but I mean, it could skyrocket within 10 minutes. I mean, we saw that game in Pittsburgh, had a scoreless basically first half, and that was in the snow.
Is there any intel out there?
No, not yet.
Really?
But the intel, I don't know. Do you trust the Doppler that we have on campus here or what?
Well, our in-house weatherman's job was on the line after last night's snowstorm that we saw.
And
that
they got
no
through
good.
That total by a half.
They really, yeah, that was true.
See, I told you, no inclement weather, nothing.
Yeah.
No problems.
No
issue
whatsoever there. What are we missing? Jerome, see, I want to bet Jerome Ford, but they didn't use him enough.
Yeah, well, how about Jerome Ford receiving 13.5, 14.5 in that number? I wanted to take Chubb in the receiving game. FD doesn't have a number on Chubb in the receiving game, so they're going to hang a number on Ford. I might do that. They'll hang a number if Chubb catches a pass, and then you already missed it.
Exactly. That's the problem there. I would actually be with you on taking a Chubb number in the receiving game. You want to get him for 25-plus? Could we find that?
I looked quickly. I didn't see it. If you could get it for us, I would like to take
it. I don't mind getting on the hunt with you here. I mean, it is game time decisions after.
What do you want to do? Are you with me on Judy? Even though here's the thing. Alabama versus Alabama.
Yeah, but
Judy graduated Bama first when they were fantastic. Sertan, right? Great, great player. Now they're going to be guarding each other. I think they step up. I'll show you who's the best in Alabama history. That's it. Judy. Big going up against his former team. I love it.
I got a live one.
Nick Chubb?
Yeah.
What do you got?
You want the straight number or the alt?
Give me the straight. I say straight number's what? 9.5?
3.5.
Oh. Really? What is it, DK?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong. Used to love Donkey Kong.
You want the alt?
Yeah.
25+, 5-1.
Can we parlay it? I'm going to have to parlay it.
Yeah, but who are you going to pair it with? Why is that not enough?
It's good, but I can, you know.
Let's see. This year in the receiving,
since he came back, he hasn't been utilized as much. Didn't he get a catch in Pittsburgh? I feel like he got a catch in that game.
Yeah, he did for 1 yard.
But that was at the end. That was a bad track. Get him out in space.
So here's his receiving game log. One catch, 10 yards, no catches. One catch, -4 yards. No catch, one catch, 1 yard.
You know what I see? He's hot.
Hot?
Hot. That's exactly what I see. Hotness. Give him the rock. I'm going to take
it. Get your eyes.
No, because, you know, that's okay. The trend is going away from him. It's more leaning towards Jerome Ford that they utilize on third down situations. But yeah. I'll take a shot on Chubb. Neutralize the front seven. They know they're going to run it on first and second down with Chubb. Get that defense running sideline to sideline. Then you hit them with four verts.
Okay. I might get in with you.
Come on.
Let me see if the other place is starting to.
They're hanging numbers on
now
them?
Now it's out. Now it's 3.5 everywhere. Wow. -110.
All right.
Now, yeah, where you do all your shopping, it's up. But they're not hanging the alt.
Nah. They're afraid. Nick Chubb, 3.5. You got to be kidding me. Are we serious on that?
Yeah. You know, I mean, is that good enough?
That's perfect. Yeah, I'll take that.
All right. So he's on for the 3.5 then. All right. There we go. Not bad. We found something.
Yes.
We did something here.
Yes.
People will be excited
about
that.
I'm excited. Judy, anytime touchdown. I like it.
Hot on this Judy.
Hot on this Judy.
We're going to hit a break. And since we've handled this game, we've handled the college football.
Uh-oh.
And I'm not sure I'm going to force you to give a pick with no ranked college act.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's possible.
We talk about yesterday's NFL slate and the Philadelphia Eagles beat down to the Baltimore Ravens right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid Game Time Decisions. Lisey, we're going to be live tonight for Browns and Broncos. Mm. Your a pregame show will be coming up just in a little bit here with Casey Hudson, Tom Vecchio, the whole crew. We'll be live there. Adam Kaufman, Dave Sharapan. So make sure you're locked and loaded here on this Monday. But a chance to just kind of poke our heads around the corner, Lisey, or really I should say maybe around the block, what we saw yesterday. You know, they're trying to extend the olive branch. You know, for a lot this year, I said, stay away from the birds.
I picked them on the show.
I know you did. Plus, I'm letting you know.
Plus the 138.
Listen, you're looking for an NFC team. I don't know. Packers and Rams are alive. Maybe that's where you'll stick, but I'm just saying the door is open. We'll let you in.
You're going to let me in now. So this
you let Whiteside in.
Oh.
I think he might be done with that Detroit nonsense.
You think so?
His head was in the clouds.
Yeah, I think so, too. The injuries hurt a little bit on Thanksgiving. I think that's why he's back on the Jalen Hurts train. Mm-hmm. So it's possible. It played well yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, Saquon, another 100-yard performance. So impressed with the defense. I told you, Vic Fangio has done a fantastic job.
Right.
They've won 8 straight now. Fantastic victory. And again, you have concerns, big picture, about Lamar and that team, right? Again, we didn't see the passing attack take over till the fourth quarter when the game was already in doubt in the secondary, and defense has not been as dominant as they were, certainly not last year and years prior.
Yeah, look, the defense is really impressed. I was taking a look today, Lisi, though, about NFC value, essentially not Detroit and Philadelphia, if there's anybody worth clicking on. And I think the approach is, see if you can clip that NFC West winner. Seattle, not the Niners, right? It's not their year, right? Seattle, Arizona, LA. If you can clip that winner, you get the home game. Maybe you end up, you know, in a favorable round 2 matchup. Maybe the bracket breaks well for you. I don't know if you think that that's possible. There, are you still with the Rams,
yeah,
they picked that win up?
Again, I'll pose it this way. In a final stretch run,
yeah,
who do you have more confidence in? Matt Stafford and McVay and those playmakers, Kyler and that team that were playing fantastic, but now Kyler in back-to-back games has lost 2 in a row.
Yep.
Right? He's putting up numbers, but now they're losing close games, right?
Yeah.
Seattle and Geno punching above their weight a little bit. I still have, especially with Kenneth Walker and that rushing attack being inconsistent, I can't buy in. I just can't. And maybe I'll be wrong and I'll admit it. With Geno Smith, I just think they're a 500 team. I think they're certainly 2 games over.
500, though, you might need 9-8 to get through the finish line here.
But I would much rather think that that team is going to be the L.A. Rams than the Seattle Seahawks. And again, if you're giving me, you know, whatever money you're giving me, put it on a winner right now.
Yeah.
My money is on that group just because I've seen it. Right now, they didn't step up against Miami. Lost some games, obviously, against the Eagles. Got dominated. But if we're talking those 3 teams, I like the Rams matching up against Seattle. I like the Rams head-to-head against Arizona.
Yeah, here's the issue, and I know that this isn't maybe for you,
right,
how much you worry about it, where if you said, hey, 1 game, who do you want? Okay, yeah, I'll take Stafford.
Right.
I'll take McVay. I got you. That's not what this is.
No, I know.
The schedules might, but maybe I'm too reliant on the schedules. But now it's the Cardinals who sit there with what is projected to be that easiest schedule,
okay,
right? They get to host Seattle, and then New England, and then it's Carolina. Then they'll finish with the Rams and the Niners. They are hosting the Niners.
Carolina's spunky, though.
Here's the thing with L.A. Do you think they can knock off Buffalo next week in their building? That's because if yes, you bet them.
I think anything's possible.
No, I know, but that's, I'm not asking you.
The way Buffalo's playing right now, most likely not, but I think I would take a flyer on that. If you're asking me, I'm willing to pull the trigger on that bet, knowing now that probably 80% of the money is going to be on the Bills in that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that's no doubt about it, and that's Buffalo being Buffalo and everything with that. I just, if the Rams can pull off that upset, it gets interesting.
It does.
It gets interesting.
Do you have as much confidence? I thought Gannon was doing a great job earlier, but now they're starting to they're coming back to baseline, which is scary.
Well, it's not even. Look, I think their overall defensive performance yesterday was fine. Is somebody's got to get into his ear? You know, Greg Olsen got a lot of credit for explaining the up 3, up 6 thing. We did that for you right here on Sports Grid. When the Eagles made the mistake against the Falcons, his decision-making, I think, put them in a spot to lose yesterday, and they lost for it. It's going to be a great week of football, though. It continues with breakdowns next on the pregame show.